For example, the pain points you mentioned are so important, because if any families out there are listening and you might be thinking, I can't afford it, like we talked about, it doesn't work for their summer vacation and family time trumps a camp. It might be that the student,
Amen.
right? It might be the student is hearing you and sometimes their eyes glaze over and they go, what? I worked so hard. I don't know if I'm ready to just jump right into something that feels so academic on my downtime. So one of my favorite things is to go, okay, well, maybe you don't want to do something that feels like you have to. So let's talk about what you get to do and what would feel like a reward. And if you can tap into your motivation, what you love to do, and somehow translate into that a learning exploratory experience, home run. And it doesn't have to cost anything. It can be a full DIY. So many examples of success.
I was recently blown away by an amazing summer programs resource put together by Cindy McCormick. She's an educational consultant in California. I was so impressed that I invited her to the podcast to discuss how to make the most of summer for college-bound students. Summer offers a unique opportunity for growth and preparation, and we're here to help you navigate it wisely. My experience with teens and their parents, frankly, is everyone overestimates how much summer time they have and what they can accomplish. So we're giving you actionable advice examining how these months can be pivotal in your teen's college-bound journey. We'll weigh the pros and cons of pay-to-play programs, ask if they're really worth the investment, and explore no-cost, meaningful summer enrichment options that offer great value. Timing is key, so you'll learn when to start thinking about summer plans and by what date you may have missed crucial deadlines. I'm Lisa Marker Robbins, and I want to welcome you to College and Career Clarity, a Flourish coaching production. Let's dive right into a great conversation planning a summer that's not just a break, but a step forward in your teen's path to college. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I am too, because you seem to be the expert in this area. When I came across in a discussion thread of other IECs, independent educational consultants like you and me, people were bragging about your comprehensive summer planning list. And when I hopped over there, I'm like, okay, this lady knows her stuff. And I know you're weaving it into a meaningful journey for your own clients. So let's get going.
Absolutely.
I mean, that list that you created, and by the way, we're going to link to it in the show notes so everybody can get it. Everybody needs it. You took so much time, I know, to do that. So why take that amount of time? Like, why such an investment? Nobody's paying you for it. You're putting that out there into the wild for good. Why would you take the time to do that?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm an open book and open share IEC. I think a lot of us that go into this profession do it because we just have big caring hearts. And what I found was I would be in professional groups and we would share our resources. And someone would have a list of maybe 30 summer programs they found were really useful. And someone else would have a list. And I found myself going around and around Googling, going back to list after list. And I thought, this is ridiculous. It needs to be all consolidated in one place. And if it's going to be helpful for me, it's going to be helpful for anyone. And I am not competing with my colleagues. So why can't we all share and get a little further with that? So it took some time to aggregate. And I do have someone wonderful who I have working with me. And she was able to take all of my lists and make it beautiful.
Well, it is beautiful and it is comprehensive. Is this the first year that you created the list?
No, this might be my third year it's been
Okay.
out there. My third season going into summer.
Okay. So we should say we are recording this in January. We're going to drop it in early February. And I often have families say to me, like, we just did our live Q&A for my Launch Career Clarity course on Tuesday of this week. So here it is, January, and I gave them your resource and I gave them some other resources. And I was really driving home the importance of using summer inside our course to get clear on college majors and careers. And it's easy to get pushback from people like, it's January. We just said Happy New Year. It's not even Valentine's Day yet. Why in the world are we talking about this now? So why would you have been putting this out into the world when it's so cold out and we're already thinking about summer?
When we're hearing about snowstorms?
Yes.
So I am a teacher before I was a college advisor. And as a teacher, you have to have your curriculum planned for the whole year. You have to know the goal and the timing. What I found when I started doing the college advising was I was a little late to the game. And every year I thought, I'm going to back it up a little earlier. What I think makes most sense, and I know this is a real shock, is introducing it to my families. I know this is crazy, but in the fall, because there are so many programs with deadlines to apply, some even December or January. So what I notice is if I make it available to them and I say, look, this is a great resource. Look at these lists. Some deadlines are going to be earlier than you'd expect. At least they have rights of refusal. There will be a handful of families who say, oh my gosh, we have to wait till Christmas is over or the holidays, the new year. Totally understand there are programs for you as well. So it's very much personalized and tailored to the student and their family and what level of selectivity they're looking for in a program.
Okay, so you mentioned deadlines and programs because there are opportunities to both apply and get accepted and most of the time pay for those types of programs. And there are DIYs, but part of what's driving this timeline that you and I espouse is correct is, and people can disagree with us, but is that there are deadlines coming up. So as you are curating this fantastic list, like what were the earliest deadlines? And let's kind of talk about these, we'll call them pay to play. And let's start with deadlines and then kind of talk about who these types of programs might be for.
Right. Well, in all of this research I did putting the programs into the list, there are some even due September the year before the upcoming summer.
Wow.
And I've had that where, oh my gosh, it was due in September, more than a few. And for sure, some due in December. I would say the majority of these pay-to-play, more selective ones, often come due right in the beginning of January. Now, is that for everyone? Absolutely not. I would say it's actually for a small percentage of students who are really going for those exclusive programs. And part of their motivation is because of the exclusivity. So they might have a college list that's got some really low acceptance rates. And so they're trying to show they are capable of that kind of level of perfection and production, et cetera. For most of my students, I'd say the majority, I think they might look at a pay to play, and you can have ones that aren't quite as selective and you can have those deadlines even in April, May. But then I find the most wonderful thing, this is something I really am proud of as a college advisor, is making sure students know you don't have to pay to make your summer authentic and a self-awareness journey. So a lot of my students, it's the creative ways they find a way to enrich their summer that helps them grow and discover what their strengths are.
Yeah.
Far more than some program that's already packaged for them.
Well, I love that you say that because first of all, not everybody can pay to play. And we should probably talk about one of the cons is high cost. But even if you do a pay to play, you do a formal program, whether it's one of those that's highly selective, it's already past some of those deadlines, or there's a lot of deadlines for those programs that are in February and March. There's a tiny bit still left in April or May. So no matter when somebody's listening to this, they might be able to find some of those programs. But those programs sometimes are anywhere from a few days to a week to a few weeks. So, you know, your summer, if you look at it as being 8 to 10 weeks, you know, depending where you go to school, you're going to do more over the summer than just go do this 3-day or 1-week program. So, Yes, we're talking about think about these programs, but I think it's more important. You're going to actually have more time outside of the time that you would invest in those programs most often to do, like you said, some really creative things to like move the ball down the field on trying to get to this goalpost.
I couldn't agree more. And for example, the pain points you mentioned are so important, because if any families out there are listening and you might be thinking, I can't afford it, like we talked about, it doesn't work for their summer vacation and family time trumps a camp. It might be that.
Amen.
Right. It might be the student is hearing you and sometimes their eyes glaze over and they go, what? I worked so hard. I don't know if I'm ready to just jump right into something that feels so academic on my downtime. So one of my favorite things is to go, okay, well, maybe you don't want to do something that feels like you have to. So let's talk about what you get to do and what would feel like a reward. And if you can tap into your motivation, what you love to do, and somehow translate into that a learning exploratory experience, home run. And it doesn't have to cost anything. It can be a full DIY. So many examples of success.
Yeah. As you're talking about that, you and I both know that some colleges on their essays are going to ask kids, I mean, they ask them a lot of things, but I have a good example of what one student in the past that I worked with did one summer. And he was applying to Wake Forest, and that year that he was applying, they had a question about how do you express your intellectual curiosity outside of the classroom? What are you doing to further that? And it's not the most common. Intellectual curiosity questions aren't the most common, but they certainly get asked.
Sure.
So he had taken, in the summer, he studied, I don't think it was that summer, I think it might have even been two summers before, he was an avid fisherman. And he took it under his belt to, on his own, learn about the, and I'm probably going to mess up the words because I am not a science person, but the oxygenation, the oxygen level of bodies of water, how that relates to the speed at which the fish are moving, and what lures should be used to, and this was a STEM kid, and he was heading into pre-med. He was going to study biology in undergrad and go into medical school, and how that dictates the type of lure that you should use based on the oxygenation level of the body of water.
Whoa.
DIY.
Deep. You're not going to get that in a camp.
No, you're not. DIY related to his passion of fishing, related to his interest of science, totally did it on his own. And the reason
doesn't that essay write itself?
Yeah. And it's fun to write. It's easy to write then. You know,
and it comes from the heart. It's authentic as it could possibly be. And that just jumps off the page when you're reading supplemental essays. You go, that kid is telling what they did with so much excitement. It just jumps off the page.
And that's the stuff that the colleges are looking for, right?
Right.
That authenticity. Yes, absolutely. Right. You know, it was interesting. And there was another thread that I saw of professionals like you and me. And somebody asked about, you know, did anybody have experience with this particular pay-to-play program? And what do you guys, you know, I want feedback on it. And one of the counselors said, you know, well, these pay to play are not worth it because it's not going to open the door at that college. And I think that's, you know, as a myth buster, you and I know, and we need to say, hey, this does not get, if you go to the Stanford, you know, marine biology camp, which that does exist, that's not, Stanford doesn't go like, oh, we're going to like you more. You have a better chance of getting in here. And so I think that we should say, I don't even know if it's a con, but it's a reality check, right?
Right. And I remember when I've been around a while. I remember when pay to play programs were few and far between. They were hard to find. We didn't even call them pay to play.
Right.
And it was just this, there's a program, and finding programs was so tough. Now there are so many sites that just dump them. But what happened is colleges realized, we can rent out our space over summer to these outside programs. when people see the name of our college, the program's going to get more people to come because, oh, it's Stanford. It maybe will increase our chances of getting in. But the people out in the world didn't realize Stanford's not sponsoring this program. Stanford is renting out their space in a lot of cases, not always, but you have often. To know, you have to do the research to know, is this Stanford's actual program or is this just utilizing that campus space? And the program is happy to have the Stanford name attached to their camp.
And even if Stanford or, I mean, Duke, I had a student last year do something at Duke. Even if it's part of what the university is offering, it's not renting their facility, they're still doing it as a moneymaker, as right. a marketing for your student. So it's not going, they're selling you a lot of things, their image, their experience, but mm-hmm. it doesn't open the door for your student getting in. So if that's right. your primary driver, parents, just hear Cindy and I, like, that's not a good reason to do the program.
Another one that parents ask me all the time, and I know you're going to get this, is your student, you're so proud, they're in their sophomore or junior year, and they get this beautiful stamped, sealed envelope from a company saying, you are such a great student, your grades wowed us. We'd like to invite you to apply to this prestigious summer program. My friends, that is the definition of you are going to pay and then you will play.
Yes.
And they'll say, is this a good one? And I'll say, well, it's not bad. Experience is experience. So there's definitely a pro to attending one of those. But the con is it doesn't necessarily show any authentic initiative. And the student going above and beyond to explore what they're interested in, what they want to learn more about, and help them narrow down. Maybe I want to one day become an engineer, an architect, an artist. If they're in one of those programs, it's more handed to them instead of them going into a little bit more difficulty in figuring out, no, what can I do that will fulfill me that isn't necessarily handed to me for a few bucks?
Yeah. So pros would be, I think another pro, so we can like finish up the pay to play stuff, would be you do get to experience living away from home, living in a dorm, if it's a residential experience. Some of these colleges, by the way, listeners in your area, might even have an experience that's like a day experience, right? It might be several days, but it's for area residents and you don't even stay on campus. But students experience dorms. They experience being away from home. They experience subject matter at a deep level that may help. What I love is giving them college major and career clarity. So there are pros, but the cons would be it's not going to open the door that you think it is. It's going to cost money. What other cons that I'm missing?
Well, I think what I was just saying about it doesn't show initiative.
Yeah.
Now, not everything has to show initiative. What I counsel families to do is try to have a balance of both. Yeah. You can have these programs that open your eyes and teach you things you'll never have seen. They have really consolidated expertise. They'll have instructors and other kinds of experiences that you couldn't cultivate on your own. So I do love what you'll get exposed to. But if that's all you do, you're not showing the initiative. So it's really a balance of both in a lot of cases.
That brings up, like, what are some of the things that we could show initiative? Because these are going to be the DIYs. So the kid with the oxygen fish that whole study. Yeah, it's amazing. What have you seen kids do that are really high value in that DIY space?
Oh my gosh, so much. I love that you asked that. So it can be it's like a spectrum. So I had a student who was kind of struggling for motivation. His parents hired me, I think, a little bit to kind of like help him get his act together. So we get students who need a little help in that area. And I said, you know, let's do something over summer, help you figure out a career, a major. And he was just a leader. He was a popular, exuberant, energetic, get involved in everything kind of kid, not the greatest grades. And he kept saying, I don't know what I want to do over summer. I just want to surf because I'm here on the California coast. So I said, okay, how about this? Why don't you surf? But since you're so good with people, could you teach someone else to surf? could you maybe come up with a program that instructs people that you could teach? Well, we happen to mutually know of a family with a student. He was a middle schooler who was on the spectrum, and he would get really stressed out. And this kid on the spectrum, what calmed him down the most was the ocean. Bingo. So my student, the high schooler, worked with the kid with autism. He taught him how to surf. He went out there every day, became a big deal. It rolled forward so that that kid with autism learned how to surf, and it became his outlet. The one who taught him developed a program, started teaching other students. And then in addition to that, he met a photographer on the beach who loved photographing surfers all the time, zoned in on my student and said, hey, can we work together? I want to use you. As they developed a business with teaching kids how to surf and then videoing it and then selling the videoing and the surf instruction.
Amazing.
Program. That's just one example.
Yeah. Amazing. I had one student who was volunteering at a local food pantry, and she had done it for years, and she was doing it as community service. And it made for a great community essay that the colleges are going to ask students to write about. But she was trying to think of, like, she was very interested in design. And so what could she do? And she was trying to come up with new things to do. And I said, why don't you look at what you're doing now and see if you can create your own as well? So she noticed that the social media and the newsletter for the food pantry were just very lacking. You know, I'm sure they were doing everything they could just to get the food and to serve the people. Right. And they're not marketers.
Resources are thin.
Yes. So she asked them, and it was unpaid, but it was with an organization that she cared about. It was within her wheelhouse of things that she enjoyed. So she started making social images for them. She started a newsletter for them. And so it was fantastic. It gave her a little bit of, like, yes, I really do like design. I really do enjoy marketing. And it entrenched her even more in a strong community. So I hope that, like, as we're just spitballing, this is what we do in my monthly Q&A with my launch live, you know, we call it our launch live Q&A with our career course. We just spitball. People bring a challenge and then we figure it out. So, you know, I think even just this, like, just talk to other people and brainstorm what might be possible. You know, are there any pain points that you see as, you know, so we're inspiring people to think and to research what's out there and consider their options, but are there any roadblocks that you're commonly seeing your families coming up against?
I would absolutely say yes. and that's why I love brainstorming. I love creativity. So when parents bring me pain points, I love going, well, there's a workaround for that. So sometimes, like the student I mentioned, not having the motivation to really do more what they consider work over summer. So, you know, the workaround is then don't think of it as work, do what you love and turn it into some sort of passion project. Then there are the athletes. Oh, the poor athletes / marching band, you know, the kids who have so much planned already through their, whatever their extracurricular is, there isn't space. So in those cases, we might do something like online, or maybe, like you said, a day or a 3-day program where they just get a little exposure cost. We got the workaround to that. Do it yourself. And sometimes, honestly, it's kids just needing downtime. And so, yes, we respect that. You get your downtime. We take the whole 10 weeks of summer and we say, okay, how many weeks of downtime? Which weeks do you think you could go all in? And we balance that out. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that's perfect because, you know, you're designing. A lot of people just drift into summer, right? And they go and they're like, oh, their kids, the parents know their kids need a break, and they do need a break. And parents need a break. I mean, it's a lot. I was recently in that stage. I'm glad that, you know, those years really are tough fitting everything in. So I think we go in with all the feels about downtime. And so we just start to drift, but the families that drifted, instead of even design your downtime, not just design the things that you'll do with meaning, so that summer just all of a sudden it's August and you go, oh gosh, it's gone. And we didn't get done what we wanted to do.
Yeah. That's when you actually have regrets. You know, I should have done something. So yeah. The whole point of my website and all those programs for people to explore is just plan ahead, you do you, but think ahead about how you can take advantage of what you love and what you want to explore and go out and just do something. Don't languish.
Absolutely. And I even think families that already like through this said, you know, pay to play is not going to be for us. I still think looking at the options can spark innovation about what you think that you could do DIY. So head to Cindy's website. It is over in the show notes. And does it have a quick URL? I don't even.
It's just CindyMcCormickCollegeAdvising.com.
Okay, so easy. And I'm assuming that's where you want people to stay in touch.
Absolutely. We have a contact us. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. So I look forward to seeing the profit come in and helping people figure out their summers.
Absolutely. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you to Cindy McCormick. We've covered a lot of ground today. So if you're listening when this goes live, don't be tempted to put off summer planning just because it's cold outside. Your college-bound challenge for this week is to start brainstorming as a family now. Dive into Cindy's comprehensive list of summer programs to find options that resonate with your teen's interests and goals. Balance is essential. Mix structured programs with downtime and family activities. And if you don't plan to do any pay-to-play experiences, let the list inspire your creativity to design something that uniquely fits your teen and furthers their college major and career clarity. What matters most is authenticity and personal growth. Thank you for tuning in to College and Career Clarity. Until next time, start planning, stay inspired, and keep supporting your teen on their journey to college and beyond. Don't forget to visit Cindy's resource list and begin crafting a summer that's both enriching and enjoyable.